With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns are 540, 536, 641, 683, 534, and 924. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, Without Christ versus in Christ, and is taken from Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 540.
Good morning. It's great to be with all of you again. What a joy and a privilege it is to come into the Lord's house this morning and to come into His presence. It is the Lord who has brought us here, and He has in store for us many blessings, many gifts. And so in light of all of His benefits, let's come into His presence with singing this morning, singing together our first hymn, number 540. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him you both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you,
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
There is so much weight hidden behind Paul's words in verse 12 of our epistle reading this morning, when he says that you were at one time separated from Christ. And while it's not the most pleasant theme to think about, it's necessary in order to appreciate the value of Christ. When we talk about salvation and how God has saved us, it's important to keep in mind the from what. The many of us have been saved this morning by the grace of God, but we do well to remember, what are we saved from? Because that is what Paul is bidding us to remember this morning. In fact, twice he tells us, remember. Verse 11, saying that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh. And then again, immediately after, he says it in verse 12, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. Again, while it is a solemn theme, it's nevertheless beneficial for us to do so, to remember, to think about the mire from which we have been rescued, from the perils from which we have been saved, and from the fate that we have been redeemed from. You were at one time, Paul says, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And truly, dear friends, no mind can comprehend the depths of what is implied in that phrase. Truly, even those in hell can't give an accurate account of their miseries. Those departed souls who have since received that sentence to depart from the presence of God, even these can't understand the depths of their tragedy. They still can't fathom the depths of their despair as they continue to fall in that deeper into that bottomless pit. And again, beloved, I admit it's not a pleasant thing. It certainly isn't one that we would willingly take up or that we enjoy talking about. We would much rather this morning talk about something that is utterly pleasant and lovely. But it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit himself that Paul bids us this morning to remember. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. The King James Version has it as just two words, and putting it so simply, it somehow makes it sound even more ominous that you were without Christ, Paul says. Without Christ. And for the Christian, there is nothing more bitter than to imagine life without Christ. For to be without him means that you are without all of the spiritual blessings which he alone can bestow. Without Christ, you are without life, dead in your trespasses and sins. What's more, you are one sitting in darkness without the light of the world to shine upon you. Without Christ, you are without peace, being hunted down by justice. You are without peace with God and without peace in the world. All of creation is against you if you are without Christ. Even the earth itself groans beneath us, having to bear such a heavy load of sin. To be without Christ is to be without rest. It's to go through a turbulent storm with no one beside you to say, peace, be still. To be without Christ is to be without safety, without hope. Everywhere you look, rather, you are surrounded by perils, with an angry God above you, with a bottomless gulf beneath you, and around you a host of devils seeking for your destruction. And while those without Christ, they can suppress these thoughts, they can occupy their minds with flattery, filling themselves up with temporary pleasures. Such is their portion and reality for those without Christ. That is why Paul bids us again not to suppress the thoughts, but to remember. Don't focus solely on the temporary pleasures of life, but remember who you were. Remember what you were without the Lord Jesus. And yet, dear friends, with all of these things absent, such is only the beginning of what could truly be said. We can go much farther to say that to be without Christ is to be left destitute of all that he is, to be left separated from everything that he has, and to be non-recipients of all that he has done and accomplished. Without Christ, that means you have no access to any of the benefits of his offices. Though he is a prophet, priest, and king, if you are without him, though, you have none of those things, none of those offices working for you. You have no king to help you in your day of trouble. No king who is ruling all things together for your good. Without Christ, you have no sovereign who is orchestrating things for your benefit. No, but providence itself, rather, is working your ill instead of for your good. In the same way, without Christ, you have no prophet. You have no one to speak those heavenly words. No one to call down heaven's graces and say, your sins are forgiven you. No one to declare the truths of God, for truly Jesus is truth, he says. Without Christ, you have no priest. All of the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, it avails not for you if you do not have the Lord Jesus. Without Christ, the living Savior, he means nothing to you. Without Christ, you can look at him suffering on the tree, bleeding and dying. But without him, you have that saving work is no benefit to you. There remains no fountain of which to wash away your sins. There is no blood from the Passover lamb to cause the angel of death to pass over you. Without Christ, you are an alien from everything that Jesus has procured, and his blood avails not for you. Without Christ, your sins are unpardoned, your transgressions still cling to you, and your clothes remain stained scarlet with sin. Without Christ, there's no advocate with the Father. No one to be your substitute or defender on the day of judgment. Without Christ, sin will call for your destruction, and there will be no one to give reply. All these things, dear friends, without Christ, there remains no one to prepare a place for you in heaven, no one to wipe every tear from your eye, and no one to make your eternity blessed. There is so much encompassed in just two words, without Christ. Frankly, all of it could just be summed up by saying simply that without Christ, you are without everything that makes life blessed and death joyous. Because without Jesus, you lack the very essence of good. For it's as the scriptures say, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Let us ponder these things and remember that such were each of us. And if there was ever a time that you yourselves, dear friends, can remember being without Christ, then let us praise him for preserving you alive during those days of the wilderness, for keeping you safe until the day when he called you by the gospel and brought you into his family, into his fold. And if there was never a time that you yourself can remember being without Christ, then let us thank God for such a blessed privilege. And let us learn anew to fly again with thanksgiving to Him who is able to save to the uttermost all who call to Him. For truly, dear friends, He is to be had for the asking. Come and take is the call of the gospel. Receive Him freely, this Jesus who is all in all. Praise be to God, dear friends, that we don't need to be without Him. In fact, the many of us, we have found Him. By faith, He has met us in the waters of our baptisms. By faith, He meets us in the Lord's Supper. And by faith, He is ours in the hearing of God's word preached to us now. Christ has come to make us partakers of Himself. And though we were at one time without Him, being slow to hearing His word, slow in believing everything that He has said, instead rather proving ourselves quick into running after false gods, yet has He remained faithful to save you. To think how long Jesus has stood knocking at the door of our hearts. Be astonished that He has stood there knocking for so long. For while He knocks, the whole time we have despised and refused Him, resisted and kicked against His will. And though we would not have Him, yet did He mercifully, graciously continue calling out to us. And dear friends, it's only in a sovereign act of mercy then that the Lord overcame our hard-heartedness. He has wooed us with the promises of the gospel. He has given us that quickening spirit to make us alive and to make us willing in the day of His power. He has overlooked our unworthiness, and at length He has rescued us to make us His own dear children. If we were left to ourselves, we would have been lost without Christ forever. But by His gracious power, He has birthed life. He Himself has birthed the faith that we have in our hearts today, making us His children whom He now pardons. For by His death on a cross, we have been brought near, Paul says. In fact, we are now in Christ, verse 13 says. Once separated from Christ, but now we are in Him. While 1,000 benefits could be expounded upon us from being in Christ, suffice it for us to just focus on one of those this morning. That in Christ now, in Him, we have our sins atoned for. We have an advocate with the Father and the remission of sins. Jesus has brought you near, bringing you under His wings, if you will, as a hen gathers her chicks. And yet more than just doing that, being brought under Him, we again are found in Him. Your life, dear friends, it is hidden away in Christ Jesus. Death, it can't touch you, it can't find you when your life is hidden away in Christ Jesus, who is alive forevermore. Your sins are paid for and they are removed forever. Though your sins once separated you from your God, He has brought you near by the blood of the cross. And the blood of the Holy One has satisfied all the demands of justice. Like a cleansing river, then, His blood has flooded across the whole of your life, and it has washed clean every spot of sin. Every sin committed in the heart, the mind, and through the body has been forgiven. Every sin committed by your hands, your feet, your tongue, your mind, and more has all been forgiven you. who are in Christ Jesus. Let everyone remember this morning who we are and what we have in Christ. Dear friends, tell me not what you don't have. Focus not on your apparent lack, that you don't have a certain income, that you don't have wealth, don't have friends or a comfortable house. Dear friends, think of what you have in Christ Jesus. You have a Savior. You have the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You lack no good thing. For he who has spared not his own son, he will graciously give you all of these lesser things. If he will give you his own heart, will he not also give you everything that is good? And with certainty, then, we can rest upon that truth that he is working all things together for you. We can say confidently now that even our losses are gains. Both our additions and subtractions are equally profitable for our souls, for both will lead to the swelling of our soul's eternal delight. God will make sure of that. And lastly, truly, we have more than any other creature under heaven. No non-Christian can boast of having more than you as their portion. For if you have Christ, then you have more than all the world could ever yield you. Even the heavens of heavens cannot contain the Lord. You have a deed to mansions in the sky where moth nor rust can destroy, not where thieves can break in and steal. You have an inheritance in the heavens left undefiled forever and a glory that shall never fade. For when you have Christ, dear friends, you have all things good. With God on your side working for you, there is no lack of a good thing. And so we may rejoice, dear friends, remembering the depths from which Christ has saved us and the heights to which he has placed us, hiding us in Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning that you have had mercy upon us, that we by nature have rejected you and forfeited your gifts and promises, and that we have called down justice to fall upon us, yet you have sought to be merciful. And so we thank you that you have called us by the gospel and have baptized us into Christ Jesus. We praise you for hiding us away in Jesus, the mighty fortress. We ask that you would keep us secure in him until that day of judgment. In the meantime, defend us from all sin, from temptation, and from the schemes of the evil one, and from all that would pull us away from our Savior. Continue rather to woo us with your loving kindness. Give to us peace, joy, and all the riches of your grace. And we humbly pray that you would not withhold anything from us that would be for our good. Let your will be done in our hearts, in our minds, and in our circumstances. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, we ask that you would lead us to be ever thankful and trusting in your sovereignty. As you rule all things well, lead us to not grumble or complain. As you are good, perfect, and holy, lead us to bear witness to the joys it is of being your children. Let us bear witness by our thankfulness, our patience, and with the genuine joy of having you as our Father. Lead us to value the gifts of Christ as we ought, remembering always the depths from which he has rescued us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, we ask that you would be working in the hearts and minds of the people of this congregation. We ask that you would continue to raise up leaders and volunteers to serve you by serving one another and our community. Lead us to love each other as ourselves and to sacrifice for the good of your kingdom. We pray especially this morning that you would be working this week in our VBS and be with the volunteers to give of themselves, give them joy in the midst of their duties. We ask that you would uphold them and strengthen them and cheer them by seeing the fruit of their labors. Be also with the kids this week, and let this week be full of joy as we learn more about you, who you are, and what you have done for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we thank you for caring and sustaining the lives of your creation. We ask that you would be with those who are hurting in mind, body, and soul this morning. Lord, you know the needs of all, and we humbly ask that you would bring life and healing to light. Comfort the brokenhearted, bring relief to the suffering. Be especially with Rhonda Nienheiser as she continues to recover from her knee surgery. We thank you for the kindnesses you've shown her thus far. Just ask that you would continue giving her the grace sufficient to bring her through this trial, upholding her in the midst of the pain. We ask that you come quickly to restore all things, make them new, and to wipe every tear from our eyes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. And for our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn at 924.